Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Hi, Ivy Podcast listeners. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I am your host, Angela Alberti. Wherever you are tuning in from around the world, we want to thank you for spending a few moments of your time. Very excited to sit and have the opportunity to interview Aaron Wonky with ESS. Aaron, can you give us a little bit of background on your story? And as we were talking before the show started, even more so excited because this is going to be really revolved around the healthcare industry and staffing and recruiting professionals that have really gone for a whirlwind of a ride the last couple of years. So give us the background.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, Angela, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate this opportunity. So I've been in the staffing and recruiting world for almost 25 years now. I worked for another firm and then I started Executive Staffing Solutions in 2000. So this is our 22-year anniversary. We've got 28 full-time recruiters, and all we work in is the healthcare niche. That's all we've ever worked on. And as a result of that, we've really grown in the industry, become a national powerhouse. We're ranked by Forbes magazine as one of the top 50 recruiting firms in the entire country. And we do that by delivering for our clients on every search that we take on.
That's awesome. And congratulations and kudos to you and your team on what y'all have developed. I think 20 years or 20 plus years for any company is a very long time, but especially long for a company within the staffing and recruiting industry. And, you know, just to jump right to it, I want to hear exactly what it's been like for you guys. We all know that healthcare has always been a very strong industry. If we open up any staffing industry analyst report, it's going to show you the strongest growing industry sectors that make up this $300 billion industry is really within two main areas, especially lately, IT and healthcare. So what has the onset of the pandemic really done for your business? If you could sum it up on what your life has been like the last 2 years.
It's been like nothing I've ever experienced being in this business for so long. So during COVID, everybody kind of just held the pillow tight and just waited. And if you survived it, you were there to flourish as a result of that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of recruiting firms that work in hospitalities and other industries that were maybe event planning or something like that, mm-hmm. that really struggled, and some of them didn't make it. Mm-hmm. But if you happen to be in a niche, and I feel very fortunate that we were in this niche 20 years ago, we were able to do well the year of COVID, but then last year, it's been an absolute explosion of opportunities. You know, the way the job market has changed with the ability of people to work from home or hybrid, companies are battling through that and figuring out how they're going to deal with these challenges. And as a result, the candidate playing field has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. There's candidates now that just want to work from home. There's some that still want to go to the office to stay, and there's still a mixture. And so it's interesting to see how that's going to play out around the country. Because we recruit nationally, we see it a little bit different in parts of the country. And what's also been interesting from this is during COVID, a lot of people picked up and moved. And so people who were in these big cities and had to go to work every day, they sold their expensive house, moved to a lower cost of living. I'm thinking of some specific people in New York City that moved down to Georgia in second and third tier markets, got real nice houses and said, you know what, I'm going to work remote from here on out. So it's really changed the landscape of the marketplace in those cities and with companies. And companies have to decide, well, do we want to keep that talent? Or are we going to say have to be in the office or going to lose them? And I think some companies still struggle with that. In the healthcare industry, they're still working through how that's all going to play out.
So you guys, a lot of what y'all do, and I know that this is a testimony to what most people within the recruiting and staffing do, is not only find the best talent, but it's also consult with your clients. And I'm sure that there's been a lot of consultative conversations that have been happening considering the differences and some of those nuances that you've mentioned that are changing within the candidate landscape. What would be some of those best practices that you would recommend to the client to really capitalize or maybe even reanalyze the way that they look to engage themselves within this talent sphere?
I think there's two big challenges that are emerging for companies. I'd say the first one, everybody thinks it's sexy now. We're going to have all remote workforce, which is great. And it makes my job easier as a recruiter. So if you're a siloed company and let's say you're in Erie, Pennsylvania, well, now you got access to a candidate marketplace across the entire country. That's a huge plus for you. The flip side of that, how do I onboard these people? How do they become part of our company and our community and brand like we used to do? And that's a challenge a lot of companies are struggling with, and they haven't figured out how they're going to do that. That's not only in the healthcare industry, that's across all industries. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be something that is very important to watch. Mm-hmm. The second part of this is when we hire new employees, how they learn our way, right? You and I can only get to know each other so well on a Zoom call. And typically Zoom call is going to have several people on it. So my ability to connect with you on a one-on-one basis is really minimized. And there's a lot of knowledge that is not being passed on to people when they join companies. And companies are, we're really going to see this with our new grads who have 1, 2, 3 years of experience. It's going to take them exponentially longer to get up to speed from a skill and knowledge pace than what their predecessors do. And we're going to see that play out in the next 5 to 10 years. I think that's going to have some long lasting impacts on recruiting in general.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. It was just the other day that I came across an article, I think it was on Axios, but it talked about how Gen Z is not going to know what it's like to be in an office setting or a social setting, and what is the residual impact that we can look to expect from a culture perspective, from their own training and skills perspective. And I think that there's impacts to this that we have not yet considered, but you know, that such is the way. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, we've seen many different agencies that have seen the boom that's happening within healthcare. And maybe they were at one point, one of the agencies that you mentioned earlier, was particularly focused in a restaurant industry or an event show. And then all of a sudden they're pivoting into healthcare. What would be some words of wisdom that you would share with those guys as they're embarking into this vastly different industry?
It's an interesting challenge. I think the healthcare industry from a technology standpoint has always been behind the curve, because they're dealing with patient records and super confidential information. So they can't update that technology as quick as other companies can. So that's a challenge when people come into the industry. And frankly, it's an old industry. It's been a lot of people at around for a while. A lot of the clients we work with are probably middle-aged and older because we're doing executive search. So it's just a different type of marketplace that you're going into. And a lot of those people like that individual connection. They want to talk to you and get to know you. It's not just throw it up against the wall and let's see what sticks. For us, it's a relationship business and a consultant business where we're really trying to make that match. It's got to be the right fit for both sides, and companies still see the value in it. Part of the challenge that we're seeing now, and it started late last year, and it's really picked up already this year in January and February, companies are like, oh, you've had a little success? Okay, we're going to give you all our business, because companies are struggling so much themselves. If you just show some ounce of promise that you can deliver, they're going to give you more and more business, because their in-house recruiters can't do it, which is a great problem for us to have. And I'm very appreciative of that. Right. But at the end of the day, it's just more and more pressure on us to perform for them, which we welcome. But companies are looking for answers, and they're really struggling for answers. And I, again, don't think that's limited to the healthcare industry.
You know, I agree 100%. I think now is the time for staffing agencies to look what they can do to develop on the business development side, because it is going to be more, much more of an open book to be able to set up as a supplier or a vendor within a company's organization. And you mentioned a good point. Hospital systems and the healthcare industry in general can be somewhat more bureaucratic and maybe antiquated in the way that they do things. Some very good words of advice that you shared. Now, in general terms, what trends excite you the most when we're talking about staffing and the talent acquisition space? Is there anything on your radar that you think is vastly different from the way it was done 20 years ago when you started Executive Staffing Solutions?
I think what's really exciting for actually both the applicant looking for a position and the employer looking to hire, because we've basically gone away with the in-person interview, we can hire positions way quicker. You can get through more interviews quicker. The downside of that is just like sending a resume. It's never been easier to send out more resumes to more companies at once. You can apply to 500 companies in an afternoon, and it doesn't take that much time. the challenge that we're all going to face, and I don't know when this is going to end, is the candidates we're sending out, we hope they take all our offer, but they're also interviewing with 2, 3, 4 other opportunities. And oh, by the way, they're probably going to get a counter offer too. Mm-hmm. So what that means is there's going to be more turndowns, and we're seeing more companies go after people even after they accept a position. It's almost like recruiting college athletes. The recruiter doesn't stop once they sign with the university. People still go after those people. We're seeing that happen in the job market now. They're still going after these candidates. Even after they start jobs, their old employers calling them saying, would you like to come back? We'll give you a pay raise. We'll do that, because they're having so much difficulty trying to refill that position. It's a great problem for applicants to have, but you just got to make sure you're handling this the right way, because healthcare industry is a very small industry and everybody knows everybody. So you just want to make sure you're tactful on how you're handling those situations.
Yeah, and I bet that that same sort of logic applies to what you guys have developed in terms of your reputation for your company. It's a very small industry, and you guys have done probably a lot to maintain that reputation management within this unique industry that y'all are in. Any tips that you would give what do you share with your recruiters, and how do you guys maintain a solid reputation in this tight niche, everyone knows everyone industry?
Yeah, they do. We do. We try our best to treat people the way we want to be treated. You know, our company is fortunate to be recognized as one of the best places to work on a regular basis in Columbus, Ohio, where we're based. Mm-hmm. And we think it's important that we treat the employers we work with, as well as the applicants we work with, the exact same way. We want to do it the right way, because we don't want to just work with a company once. We want to work with them again and again and again. And we've been fortunate to do that. Companies tend to stay with us when we do it the right way. And we try to make it a win-win for everybody. And that's the typical phrase everybody says, but it's really not that easy. What we're working on now with companies is trying to say, this is what the candidate tells us they're looking for, but we need to do something else. So what else can we do? Can we do an early review? Can we do a sign-on bonus? Is there any stock options? What else can we do that's going to wow the person? I feel like we're going through a learning curve with that with some of our clients. I think that can be a competitive advantage. If there's employers watching and listen to this, think, what creative could we do? And like an early review, that costs you no money whatsoever. You're just dangling a carrot 6 months out for somebody doing an early review. That's an easy thing to offer somebody. Doesn't mean you're going to give them a pay increase, but it does give them something to look forward to.
And it's a pretty good retainment strategy as well, right?
Yes.
I think it's not a question of getting the talent into the door, it's keeping them. And I like the analogy you utilized on comparing them to college athletes. It's very true. Now, any tools that you think your team utilizes to help maximize efficiency? Of course, this all comes down to relationships and relationship building. And it was interesting because I was reading the top 14 trends on SIA for what they're predicting for 2022. And number 12 was that the recruiter was going to be somewhat extinct, in that a lot of what they can do and source and filtered through maybe AI or forms of automation will be replaced. So it is going to be more of a relationship building environment for them, where they can really focus on those core values that you guys mentioned, which seems so simple at the end of the day, but when you're dealing with all these other things going on, it's hard to stay on top of. So has your team utilized any of these tools to maximize efficiency?
We've been doing this for 20 plus years, and we've never helped somebody get a position without talking to them on the phone. We've never made a placement by just sending emails or text messages. And that may just be how we are, that we worry about everything, but we have to talk to you. We have to hear the tone of your voice. We have to hear what you're saying, question everything to make sure this is the right opportunity for you. Otherwise, you're just a resume service who's throwing out resumes. And that's just not what we do. I know there's a lot of companies that do that and they're successful. That's just not our business model. Again, we're looking for long-term relationships and long-term opportunities to work with employers. And the way we've been able to do that is by forming really good relationships with both parties.
And it's funny because sometimes you hear about submissions that happen that, you know, the agency has never even met the candidate, spoken to the candidate, kind of just pulled up their LinkedIn profile, not even sure if they're actively looking, and submitting them that way. And sometimes it's easy to do that, because as fancy as automation can get, it really is going down to keeping it, you know, as human as possible. This is, you know, the recruitment industry, and that's what we're dealing with at the end of the day. So I love that. What is the future of work look like for you, Aaron? What do you think it's going to be like in 5 years from now?
That's a great, great question. At the end of the day, we're still going to be dealing with people and helping people with this problem. We don't force anybody to make a job change. We present opportunities that may be better for them financially, for their family, for their location. They have to make that decision. I think what's going to be interesting to watch the next couple of years is if companies start valuing people coming in the office different than they value people at home, meaning will we have different pay grades? Will we reward people for coming in the office who they're training newer staff members or being in a leadership position? Because there's some positions we're finding it's hard to manage these people remotely. If you're remote and your team's remote, we're seeing people struggle from a management standpoint. So that's going to be something that's going to be really interesting to follow in the coming years. Again, I think that's across all industries. I don't think that's specific to healthcare, but that'll be an interesting trend to watch.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, anything that you think over the last, you know, couple of decades that you've been doing this are some of the top qualities that you guys look for in a good recruiter?
In a good recruiter, you have to be curious. You know, people will say, why'd you get in this business? I got in this business because I'm interested in people. I'm interested in your story. Every single person I talk to has a story, like how you ended up where you are today, what decisions, what factors influenced how you made these decisions, good, bad, or indifferent to where you are today. So I think you just have to be curious. And there's always another question to ask. It's like interviewing people. I just love interviewing people. I love hearing people's stories and then seeing, does that make sense for what this client's looking for? They're looking for somebody with X. I'm hearing X. Let's see if we can dig more of that out to see if that makes sense. To me, that's what it starts with. You got to be curious. You got to be hungry. And you got to be stubborn and resilient. You know, we do not place everybody we talk to. There's hundreds of people we have to go through to get that one person who we're going to place in a job. So because we do direct hire, primarily executive search, we don't have what some people may say a win is every day, meaning we place somebody in a job. So how do you find other ways to celebrate what you're doing on a daily basis? We have a lot of different things that we do to celebrate that, but you just have to be curious and you have to stick with it. I know this is a job that gets exponentially easier the longer you're in it because you know more people, you have more relationships. You know, if I asked you today to find me somebody in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you can say, I don't even know anybody in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But if I ask you that 5 years from now, you'll be like, oh, I worked on 3 or 4 different searches in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I got people I can go to. And in 10 years, it gets easier and easier. Plus, we have other tools. We send out a newsletter every single month, twice a month, to our entire network of candidates who may or may not be looking for positions. And then we send out a separate newsletter to our employers who are currently hiring or may be hiring. So we're constantly educating people on what's going on in the marketplace, what parts of the country are people hiring, average salaries, giving them information. So trying to be that value-added resource to people. So as you're thinking about recruiter, how can I differentiate myself? What value can I bring to you? I think the easiest way to do it is kind of flip the roles and say, what would you like? How often would you like to hear from your recruiter? And if I had a newsletter coming to you once a week or every other week, just telling you what's going on, you may say, that's perfect. I don't need to talk to you every week, but you're staying in touch with me and I know where you are when I need you. So just trying to think of different ways to differentiate yourself.
That's awesome. So just to sum it up, you have to be hungry, you have to be curious, and you have to be a source of knowledge for the candidates that you're building relationships with every day.
Absolutely.
I think you just dropped the mic on what is the qualities of a good recruiter. And that's great that you guys are utilizing so many of those tools to maintain that rapport with your candidate base. All right. What is your content diet? What are you ingesting every single day to kind of stay up to know what are those salary ranges? What are those tidbits of information that I can relay to my candidates and find, you know, your team sharing all of the useful information that y'all need to for not only the candidates, but on the client side as well?
I like to read. So I read tons of stuff every single day. I get hard publications sent to me. I've just got Staff and Industry Review showed up on my desk today.
I read
some local publications that come out. I'm on LinkedIn every single day. Staff and Industry Analyst sends an email to me every single day that I read. We're members of the National Association of Personnel Services. So trying to get information from a lot of different sources. I also like to get it from other industries. And I also like to talk to other people, other recruiting firm owners, which would be another thing I recommend to people. Oftentimes people start a business or get into a business and think, well, it feels like I'm on an island by myself. you don't have to feel that way. Reach out to people. There's association, there's networks, there's tons of people that can help you. Just pick up the phone and ask people, especially in recruiters. I find it to be a close-knit industry where people want to help people, because I get people reaching out to me all the time, say, can you recommend another recruiter who does X? I know you do healthcare. Be happy to refer you to somebody else, because we don't specialize in everything. So just find the right match for you.
That's awesome. And you got to know your tribe, right? Know you're not in it alone. Know there's Absolutely. Others that have gone through it as well and that are willing to help, or at least give some advice. The best way to learn is sometimes learning from the mistakes that others around you have made, or your own, right? So great chat, great conversation. Where can we find you? You mentioned that you're on LinkedIn. Where is the best way that we can get a hold of you, Aaron?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the easiest for me, or go to my company website, Executive Staffing Solutions, where you're able to reach me. If there's anything I can do to support anybody in their job search or refer them on to somebody else, I'm really happy to do that. It's about everybody hopefully landing in the right job for them at the right company and making that right match.
I love that. Awesome. Aaron, thanks for spending a few moments of your time. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We appreciate you guys as well, and we look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.